Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches, Baba Basra 158. And on Kuf Nun Ches Amad Beis, the Mishnah records the following scenario. Nafal Habayis Alav V'al Imo. So there is a house, and the house falls down, and inside the house is a mother and her son. Now the son has brothers from a father, but they have a different mother. So therefore, these brothers are the heirs to the brother who died. However, they are not the heirs to the mother, and the mother has her own relatives who are the heir to her property. So now the question is, who died first? Because if the son died first, his mother would inherit him, and if the mother died first, the son would inherit him, and then the son's brothers would be the ones who get the inheritance. So we don't know who died first, and therefore we don't know who gets the inheritance, who gets all of this money. So under these circumstances, the Mishnah continues, Eilu ve'eilu modin sheyach loko, that this refers to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that under these circumstances, since they both have an equal claim to the estates, therefore the mother's heirs and the son's heirs split the money. That is how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel rule, even though under the previous Mishnah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not agree about a similar scenario, but with different parties. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, no, I disagree with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and I say, Modani Bazu, I say in this case, Shanechasim Ches Kasan, that the properties remain in the possession of the one who has the chazakah, the one who has the possession of those properties. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means, who's the one who's considered to have the possession. Comes along Ben Azai, and he challenges Rabbi Akiva. He says, Al chalukin anu mitzdarin. We are distressed. We are saddened about the fact that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing in the previous Mishnah. And now, and now you're coming to tell us and to argue that when people, we come along and say that they're agreeing finally, you come along and you tell us that they're disagreeing. So how can you do this? So Ben Azai is arguing with Rabbi Akiva, and he's almost reprimanding him. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara asks the question, when Rabbi Akiva says that the properties remain in the possession of the one who had them, well, what does that even mean? Bechezkas mi, whose possession do they remain in? So Rabbi Eli says, they remain in Bechezkas Yor Shei Ha'em. They remain in the possession of the heirs of the mother. And the reason why he says this is because as long as the mother was alive, she was the wife of her husband. And so therefore, after her husband died, she has control of the estate. And so therefore, since she is from the tribe of her father, so it therefore comes to the thing that the properties are in the possession of her father's tribe. And therefore, as a consequence of this, her family is considered to be the one to inherit the property because it was in her possession as long as her husband had died. That is what Rabbi Yehuda says. Comes along Rabbi Zeira, and he says, no, they are Bechezkas Yor Shei HaBen. No, the possessions are in the property of the heirs of the son. And the reason is because once the father died, the husband of the wife, the son was in line to inherit this property. And so since the son was in line to inherit this property, we say all of the relatives from her father's side are the ones who have precedence and a prior claim to this. And so therefore, that's how Rabbi Zeira learns. But, however, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Zeira eventually went up from Babylon to the land of Israel. He saw Rabbi Zeira, and when he went up, he reversed himself, and he ruled like Rabbi Eli, that really the mother's family is the one that was in possession of the estate, and the mother's family is the one that inherits. Kisalk Rabbi Zeira, come b'shitase de Rabbi Ila. He said Rabbi Ila is correct. So I'm Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said, you know why I'm reversing myself? When I from the fact that I reverse myself and rule like the mother's family, Shema Mino, we learn from this, the Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. I learn from this that the heir of the land of Israel is what makes somebody smarter, makes somebody wiser. And therefore, that's why I was able to see the light and come around and rule like Rabbi Eli, that the Yor Shei Ha'em, the inheritors of the mother, are the ones who are in possession. Why is the heir of Eretz Yisrael make you wiser? The Tzafnas Paneach explains that because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter into the land of Israel, he just saw the land of Israel. And since Moshe saw the land of Israel, he sanctified the air. He sanctified the land by seeing it. So therefore, the air of the land of Israel, which is all Moshe saw, that is considered to be wiser. And even though Moshe died, so everything that he put his eyes to became holy, even to our times, even in our days. The Yaivitz writes in the introduction to his Siddur, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that even that this has a practical difference, because we say that a Torah scholar, according to the Gemara in Tainus, Zayin Amar Av, says a Torah scholar is prohibited to study Torah on his own without a chavrus, without a study partner. However, he says that this does not apply to one who's studying in the land of Israel, because the land of Israel makes you wiser, and so therefore you'll be able to avoid easy mistakes that are traps that a person studying on their own would not be able to avoid. An interesting approach is taken by the Chasam Sofer, and he writes that when we say that the land of Israel makes one wiser, that does not only refer to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. He says the land of Israel makes you wiser. So wherever you're from, whatever religion, whatever nationality you're from, you are smarter. You are going to get aided by the wisdom of the land of Israel. And he says this is why we say that when there's a Gemara that says that those outside the land of Israel, actually, concept is that outside the land of Israel, the idolatry that people do is considered to be not really idolatry. It's just minhag avoseihem b'yadeihem. It's a custom in their hands. And he says, because in the land of Israel, people understand, of all nations, they understand something with greater subtlety and greater nuance. But outside the land of Israel, it's just considered to be a custom. And so therefore, the Chasam Sofer says this principle of the land of Israel makes one wiser applies not only to the Jewish people, but to all the nations of the world.